Good morning, everybody. This is Bo Mitchell. This is You Get the Blessing. Thanks for tuning in. This song is by the Beatles, my favorite group. Not the greatest lyrics I've ever heard. But the part I wanted you to hear is get back to where you once belonged. So thank you, John, Paul, Ringo, and George. Thank you, Lori Lynn. Thank you, Mark. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in today, especially you, Frank and Nancy. I know you're listening. I get the word you listen every week. And so does our buddy Mark. You know that, Denoy? He says he's heading to church. I doubt it. No. Just kidding, but thank you all for tuning in, and thanks for letting us know from time to time that you understand what we're trying to accomplish with this program, which is just to introduce you to special guests that we think are influencing this community and this world for the cause of Christ. And our guest today is Don Vickers. Don, I'd like to welcome you to the show.
Good morning. Thank you.
Very much a pleasure to have you. And I know you briefly from our Narrow Gate Men's Group. All of you listeners are invited to attend 11:30 for lunch and great Bible study and sharing with other men. No pressure, no tough questions anyway, just a casual conversation with men. 11:30 to 1 o'clock at Glenmore Country Club. We do Glenmore because they serve as a great buffet lunch. I think it costs about $15. So join us there if you'd like. Don, I want to start with you by just discussing where you were born and raised and what was going on around your home when you were a kid.
Sure, absolutely. Well, my father was an Air Force officer, and so we moved quite a bit. I was born in Kansas City, and we moved New York, Newfoundland, Michigan, Colorado Springs, Washington, D.C., and ended up here in Denver in 1970.
Any favorites out of those towns you just listed?
Colorado Springs, no doubt about it.
You know, I had the same experience moving from Oklahoma City to Houston. We got to Denver, and I thought, wait a minute, an air-conditioned state.
Yeah, there
no
you go.
Humidity.
That's exactly what it is.
It's from where you were, too, Kansas City, New York.
Yeah. All the humid, hot and humid places.
So what year was that again you moved here?
It's 1970.
All right. Uh-huh. And I think I got here in 65. So brothers and sisters?
I have one sister. She's a PhD in educational psychology, works for the Denver schools.
No kidding.
Yep.
All right. Well, so brought up in a home that was faith-based?
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. We attended Applewood Baptist when we first came here. That's where I first came to faith in Jesus.
Somebody was saying it the right way at the right time.
Right way, right time. And the people were showing love, and which was really the love is what drew me in. So.
It did?
It did, absolutely. There were these kids, I was in part of a youth group, and these kids had something about them that I wanted. I didn't know what it was, but when I heard about Jesus, I knew that was it. So
same with me, Young Life Club, Don Reverts, a lot of cream pie in the face, singing songs, having fun, going to camps. But the core about, you know, it's pretty simple. Jesus Christ loves us.
Absolutely.
Wants to have a relationship with us. And all we have to do is say yes by faith.
That's correct. Absolutely.
So you did.
I did.
How old were you?
Still do. I was about 12 years old at the time.
No good.
Yep.
So do you think parents should nudge their kids that direction?
I think if they can, they need to do everything that they can to get them that direction, because the world is really spinning out of control at this point.
I call it tastefully aggressive.
Yeah.
Don't force it. Don't force it because it won't be taken even if you do, but certainly encourage, nudge, come along with me type thing is absolutely important for parents.
Definitely.
Well, I'm glad your parents did that. And then
me too.
what were your years after that?
Well, let's see. After I left Denver, I went to Colorado State University where I got a degree in business administration. And I spent a lot of time in both human resources, but in the evenings, I would always do Christian music. So I've been in a number of bands and have ended up now as the worship leader over at Church in the City with Michael Walker.
Is this like Christian music? Is this like hard rock with Christian words to it?
I wouldn't say it's too hard. because I'm not quite that I'm not heavy metal or anything like that. So
I was just kind of kidding. But my favorite group, since I got to know them all and their friends, is Phillips, Craig, and Dean. You like their stuff?
Oh, they're wonderful. Absolutely.
How about
amazing
that song? Favorite song of all. Remember that one? His favorite song of all is the song "The Redeemed," when lost sinners now washed clean. It's good stuff.
Yeah, that's a wonderful group.
So you're the worship leader now at Church in the City, and our friend Michael Walker is the pastor there. And
that's correct.
I have lost track. That church has been there now 25 years, maybe.
It started out in a Safeway off of Colfax at York.
And, that's kind of where I knew it.
And they bulldozed it and got the money to purchase the synagogue, which is the old BMH synagogue. And so we're housed there.
I forgot about that. And our friend Anschutz Foundation made a donation for that. And that is amazing what you all have. What's the history on that building, just quickly?
You know, I'm really not all that sure, other than the fact that it was ready for the wrecking ball at one time. And so we, Michael and Brenda, were able to use the money to get the to purchase the building, and we have fixed it up, and it's beautiful, just an old synagogue. It has a Torah scroll that survived World War II in Poland, and just a wonderful place to come and discover Judaic roots of our faith, as well as even on a Sunday, they have the they're just a regular Gentile service. So explain
to our listeners, Michael, for example.
Okay.
Jewish, yet...
Michael's a hippie. A completed Jewish hippie that the Lord got a hold of his heart, and is a wonderful person to be with. He's a blessing. But he just loves the Lord, and he has a real heart for the people on Colfax and the people who are hurting. I think if I had to kind of sum up what the church is all about, it's basically treasure from trash to treasures. Basically, things that have been discarded by people as trash can be turned into treasure by the Lord. And that the church is just one example, but the people's lives are
church building is one example.
Exactly.
But the lives of the people there is
right.
a greater
is, example. Is yet another. So absolutely.
That is great. I bet you guys are having some fun. What time is that every Sunday morning?
Oh, let's see. We have two services. We have a 9 o'clock and 11.
And the street address?
It's right at 16th and Gaylord, or 16th and York. So it's right between the two streets.
So you can slip in there, folks. Church in the City. Mike will be preaching. Our guest today on You Get the Blessing, Don Vickers, will be the worship leader there. So he'll be just kind of up front, making you feel welcome and leading you in some worship songs.
That's right.
And all of that and your life and your style and who you are is of great interest to me, but your hobby that's become a passion, that's become part of every message you give, is even more interesting and exciting than all of that stuff. So let's talk about, I'm just going to have you introduce the Shroud of, is it Torino?
Turin, or Torino is the Italian word for it. Absolutely.
So in the town of Torino, Italy, we have an original.
That's correct. It's in the Cathedral of St. John the Baptist.
And it's an original of what?
The original burial cloth of Jesus Christ. It's been there since 1578. And before that, it traveled around for about 200 years in Europe. All of those travels are pretty well documented by Ian Wilson. But it has been there since 1578. And they usually take it out about once every 10 years so the public can get a look at it. I'm just not a big fan of standing in a line with 1.5 million people, but if that's what you want to do, I think it's going to be another 7 years before they show it to the public again, unless there's some sort of a special event. So
maybe the single most important Christian artifact in existence today.
Very much so, because it all has to do, that's the center evidence in regards to the physical evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you look at the Shroud of Turin, there's really questions that you need to ask is, number one, did this hold a dead body? And number two, did that body stay in the cloth and decay?
Well, let's talk just a second first about the So Shroud of Turin, shroud is a word for burial cloth.
Burial cloth, sindone.
And that cloth would look sort of like what, real thin, real thick, something that was laid behind him and on top of him, or how did it go?
The physical characteristics of it is it's basically 14 feet 4 inches by 41 inches, which means absolutely nothing to the common American. But to a first century Jew, that is exactly 2 Hebrew cubits by 8 Hebrew cubits. It's made of totally of linen until the 1200s, at which time they've done a repair on it, which actually skewed the carbon dating. But basically, it's a 3-over-1 herringbone weave. So when you look at it, it will have kind of a slash going into it, a V slash that goes back and forth on the cloth. So it's actually something that was probably pretty expensive at his time.
Unique to Christ or used for all Jews that were buried at that period?
Well,
of time?
They've found other burial cloths. One of them was the Hinnom Valley cloth, which was made of cotton or a regular 1-over-1 weave. So I don't think it was a very common cloth. There's actually a discussion about the possibility that it may have been the actual tablecloth for the Last Supper, because it was in Joseph of Arimathea's hands. Joseph of Arimathea being a very rich man. And if you look carefully on
the cloth. The tomb where he was buried?
Yeah. So.
Owned and would have had the power to bring the tablecloth and do this right.
Joseph of Arimathea was actually the individual who went to Pontius Pilate and requested the body be gotten down. And he and Nicodemus were the two that actually prepared the body with the help of the other women that were there as well. So,
wow.
So,
okay. So in case someone has missed the whole point of Easter celebration, explain to us, you know, just quickly the Holy Week and what happened and how Christ wound up in this shroud.
Absolutely. Well, so after the trial, which was in front of Pontius Pilate and Herod, and then back to Pontius Pilate. And of course the Jews demanded that he be crucified.
Which is kind of a hoax in and of itself, wasn't
it? Absolutely. Yeah.
The trial was a mess.
Yes. They had, they could have released, anybody, but they chose to release a murderer by the name of Barabbas. And, but at any rate, they sent Jesus off to be crucified. And so he basically hung there on the cross until, Friday afternoon at, 3 p.m., at which time he yielded his spirit. And at that point, they went and requested that they get the permission to take his body off of the cloth. And when they did that, they came back. Now, that there's very little time involved here, because at 3 o'clock, if you die at 3 o'clock and you're hanging on a cross, by 5:30 or 6, when the sun goes down, that nobody can touch a dead body. Nobody can do any work, because it's the eve of the Sabbath. Era of Shabbat. And so they had to do very, very quickly. It was done in haste.
And why Christ had to go to the cross, everybody, is that the very story that every person remembers, God, I mean, you either believe these scientists in the Big Bang Theory that everything just all of a sudden kind of popped into being, which to me is very difficult to believe, or that God created this. And at the time of creation, was in total unity with God, and yet man said to God in the form of Adam and Eve, you know, that's nice. Thank you for giving us all this wonderful stuff and giving us freedoms. But we want to be God ourselves. So pass the fruit. We want to eat the fruit that you told us not to eat. And that split occurred, which is called the fall of man. So what Christ did upon the cross was to take upon all the sin of the world, so that we could be brought clean in our relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, that he did this for us individually. So if you don't understand that, it's pretty simple, really. And the story is historically documented in a number of ways, but what our guest today, Don Vickers, has is incredible in terms of the physical evidence that Christ hung on that cross. He was pierced, he was beaten, he was bloodied, it was a miserable death, and then he was laid in the tomb on this burial cloth that our friend and guest Don Vickers has a copy of, actually, which I've seen. But tell us about how all of that, you think, was protected through the centuries.
Absolutely. Well, I think when the in John 20, we read about Peter and John going into the tomb and finding the linen cloths that were kept there. And if you can imagine that the body is not there, but the linen cloths are, and they have its his blood on it. And
they say, where have they taken him?
Well, Mary did. I don't even think she had seen the cloths at that time, but they saw it when they went into the tomb. I don't think it ever really left the disciples' hands at that point. It actually traveled to a place called Edessa, Turkey, which is now called Sandler Urfa. It's about 100 miles northeast of Aleppo, in the hands of most likely Thomas, the disciple, and also Thaddeus and Addai. And there, it actually stayed until 944, and obviously the disciples were long gone, but those first 300 years were pretty dicey, lots of persecution. But after that—
Not a good thing to have in your possession.
No. In fact, they would have killed the people and probably destroyed the relic, and particularly in the Islamic way, they destroyed anything that has to do with Christianity there. So, in 944, a Byzantine army from Constantinople surrounded Edessa and said, bring us out the image made without hands. And when they did, they took it back to Constantinople. And on August, and I believe it was 19th of 944, there's documentation of the Mandylion, which is possibly another name for the shroud, arriving in Constantinople. And there were descriptions of it done by the emperor at that time that stated that it looked like Jesus had perspired onto the cloth, that the image of his death was there. So those are some early documents of the description of the shroud, but there's also others that are in Spain, which is really kind of unique. The Mozarabic liturgies talk about Peter and John going into the tomb and seeing the burial cloth with the vestigia, or the markings of the imprint of Jesus on the cloth. And that's a very fascinating thing. And unfortunately today, and the reason why I'm here, is that the media keeps reporting that the shroud somehow mysteriously appeared in Europe in the 1300s, and there is no earlier history or record of it. And that is not true. There is a lot of it. And Dan Scavone has been bringing forth a lot of literature that talks about what they saw. So it's very powerful.
And when you speak, you actually bring your copy.
Yeah, this is a full-size photographic replica.
Full-size photographic replica. Is that how the shroud is displayed right now in Torino?
It's actually in a very large case, folded out from one side to the other, so 14 feet 4 inches long. The case is probably 15 feet long, and it's got to be probably about 50 inches in width. It's enclosed in a case of argon gas to preserve it, and they put it there in the year 2003. So,
our guest today on You Get the Blessing is Don Vickers. We talked about his conversion to Christ as a young man, the fact that today he is the worship leader for Michael Walker and Church in the City, and you all can come to church there this Sunday. Address again?
That's at 16th and York. 16th and Gaylord.
New York, 16th and Gaylord, yep. Right in there. You'll see a beautiful old synagogue that's been converted and cleaned up and in beautiful repair. But beyond that, Don's life is committed to the Shroud of Turin, it's called. This is the burial cloth of Christ. And what are some of your... I know when I first saw it, I think the first thing I asked you was, how tall do they think Christ was based on this? So talk about that and some of the features of the shroud that you possess that actually are quite fascinating.
Sure. Well, the foremost expert on the shroud is probably Dr. John Jackson, who is a scientist, a PhD physicist, who lives in Colorado Springs. And his scientific team determined that Jesus was probably 5'10 to 5'11. And so I just think the whole thing is fascinating to me, particularly even on a photographic replica. You can take a negative image camera to it and still bring forth the positive image of his face and then the entire body, both front and back.
It's quite clear too, isn't it?
Very much so.
And also blood stains and blood pooling in a number of places.
Yeah, that's correct. The blood was tested in the Shroud of Turin Research Project in 1978 and was determined to be real human blood, type AB. And
now say that again slower.
Sure. Absolutely. Real human blood, type AB.
Tested when?
1978 in the Shroud of Turin Research Project, where 30 scientists, led by Dr. John Jackson, went to Turin, Italy, and through a series of miracles, actually, were able to study it hands-on around the clock for 5 days straight with the permission of the Vatican.
Fascinating.
Yeah, it is. It's a really amazing thing. And so you'll see him featured on The Real Face of Jesus, which is on the History Channel, and rightly so, because he has done more studies on that cloth than anybody that I know. There is an up-and-coming scientist by the name of Julio Fonti out of Italy, and Julio actually, about in March of 2013, brought forth three scientific tests that basically dated the cloth from 280 BC to 220 AD. And that is obviously containing the lifetime of Christ. So,
wow. Other features you might mention to our listening audience that you are intrigued by as you look at your copy?
I think it's fascinating to me, the parallels that you'll find in the Bible about the shroud, or even in the Judaic culture. When you go to a Passover Seder in a Jewish household, there's three matzahs. The middle one is broken, and it's put inside a napkin, and that napkin is hidden. It's called the afikomen. And at the very end of the Seder, they ask the children to go find it, and they give them some sort of a financial reward. And that is really almost like a shadowing, a foreshadowing or an aftershadowing of the shroud itself and what happened to Jesus's body. And as we know, Paul talks about Jesus as being the Passover lamb that was slain for the world.
Tell us why it's significant that the shroud was left there, the burial clothes, but no teeth, no bones in the tomb. Why is that the most important event in my life, in your life personally, that's ever happened?
Yeah, on the third day he rose, resurrection, and they're still kind of trying to figure out how the shadowy image on that cloth got there. But I think that can be found in Isaiah 53. And for anyone who's really like to know a little bit more about why did Jesus die? What was this all about? Isaiah 53 really hones in on this, where it says, "Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquity. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed." And it talks about his grave was assigned with wicked men, yet with a rich man in his death, Joseph of Arimathea, because he had done no violence, nor was there any deceit in his mouth, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would render himself as a guilt offering, he will see his offspring, he will prolong his days. And that is the prophecy of the resurrection in Isaiah 53.
And it happened.
And it happened. Absolutely. Happened. And not only did it happen, but they beheld him. And they actually, you know, Thomas, who was probably the biggest doubter of them all, who I think ended up taking it up to Sandla Urfa or Edessa, Turkey, saying, "I'm not going to believe it unless I put my hands in his wounds." And then Jesus appeared to him, and Thomas fell to his knees immediately and said, "My Lord, my God." And Jesus responded, "You believe because you see? How blessed are those who believe and yet they do not see."
Do you recall, because I don't, how many eyewitness accounts of Christ's resurrection there are recorded in the Bible?
Yeah, there was definitely the road to Emmaus, and of course the one at the garden tomb itself, or the tomb, with Mary Magdalene, because she was sitting there weeping and Jesus appeared to her. And you know, that's kind of another thing, is that it's a personal thing that we want to engage with. We're not talking about a dead person here. This is an individual who now sits at the right hand of the Father and is an intercessor for us. And we can actually pray to him, talk to him. He listens to us and he will answer us, because he wants to meet every individual personally. It's all about a personal relationship with Jesus. Yeah, the cloth is fascinating. It's really, in my opinion, left behind as an heirloom, something to remind us of him, since he's no longer here physically, but he's here listening, and he is right here in this room with us because we're gathered in his name.
So he's the Father who created heaven and earth. He's the Son who came to bridge this gap created between man and the Father.
That is correct.
And he's also the Holy Spirit who is left behind alive today. And folks, if, you know, if you're my age, 68, and you're thinking about, well, I hope I'm in the fourth quarter and not in the 2-minute warning. Yeah. But you know, I've had a gentleman call, ask me in the last few years to explain to him how he could be assured he could go to heaven. And that's the great news of what Don Vickers is sharing here today. The great news, what the Shroud of Turin, these body clothes represent, the reality is, in Christ, we do not pass from life to death, but we pass from life to life.
That's exactly right.
So if you've never been scared into making a choice for Christ, I hope that comment scares you into it. Go pursue at Church in the City or Highline Community Church or Brave Church. Darken the doors of a church, crack a Bible open, and find out the truth for yourself and how simple this is, that you can have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And the fact that we have physical evidence that's proven through the centuries to exist, to me, is very exciting, Don. I know it is to you. You've taken it way beyond a hobby. It's probably what you preach every time you get up, huh?
It's serious, because I see, you know, so many things when you're talking about his death and his resurrection. You can't help but think of that cloth that was left behind.
And the image in that, tell me again exactly what you call your copy of.
Sure, it's a photographic, it's a full-size photographic replica of the Shroud of Turin.
A photographic replica, and I mean, it is real. It shows the face of Christ, the blood stains, the piercings, the what was left on that cloth, and you know, praise God that we have it. You have to think the hand of God has preserved it all these years.
I believe that. Absolutely, I believe that. And if anyone would like to see a full-size replica, there is one at St. Gabriel's Catholic Church in the northern side of Colorado Springs. And so their lobby is open all day long. You can go in and take a look at it. So it's a very fascinating thing. And it's wonderful when it's full size.
What about yours? Where do we see it?
Well, let's see. If anybody would like to, I'll come out there for free and let them know about it.
How do they get in touch with you? And you'd be blessed to meet Don, folks, if you're looking for a speaker and want to see the Shroud.
Well, they can call Church in the City, and they can just leave a message for me. I'll return that. I do have a website. It's called shroudinquiry.com.
One of the most interesting programs we've ever had. Great guest, Don Vickers. Keep up the good work, Don.
Thank you. Praise the Lord.
Great having you here. See you next week, folks, on You Get the Blessing.